I'm David Martin Davies, and coming up on The Source, San Antonio and Austin bookend one of the fastest growing areas in the nation. But is the region able to capitalize on this rapid development, or will it become a victim of its own success? With nonstop traffic jams, water shortages, housing crunches, loss of green space, and infighting between the municipalities, rather than working together to build an efficient megacity of the future. Call in at 833-877-8255. That's what's coming up on The Source, but first, this news.
Support for The Source podcast comes from UT Health San Antonio, South Texas' largest academic research institution, where what is discovered in its labs translates into life-changing patient care. More at uthealthsa.org.
Live from the John L. Santico Studio in downtown San Antonio, this is The Source from Texas Public Radio. I'm David Martin Davies. Central Texas is booming. The corridor between San Antonio and Austin is now home to 5.3 million people. Projections suggest it could add roughly 3 million more by 2050. That growth brings jobs, investment, and new opportunities, but it is also putting enormous pressure on Interstate 35, housing, water supplies, the electrical grid, and other public services. Those challenges don't stop at the city or county lines. A newly formed Central Texas Alliance wants the region's more than 120 municipalities to work together on shared solutions. The nonprofit coalition will bring civic, business, academic, and community leaders together to address transportation, housing, water, workforce development, energy resistance, healthcare, and land use built planning. But can communities with different needs and competing interests be able to speak together as one voice? And how will smaller cities maintain a meaningful place at the table? Joining us now is A.J. Rodriguez, the first CEO of the Central Texas Alliance. He previously served as an executive vice president at the public policy organization Texas 2036 and as San Antonio deputy city manager. And A.J. Rodriguez, welcome to The Source.
Thanks so much, Dave. It's my pleasure to be here with you.
So everyone knows if you're in San Antonio and you got to be in Austin for a meeting at 9 a.m. somewhere, you know, you're going to have to leave very, very early and you may not even make it on time because getting up and down I-35 is a challenge. We've seen the growth, we've seen the development, and it's great to see. It's a problem that other parts of the country would like to have, but it is a problem. So what do you see as what the Central Texas Alliance is trying to do to make this corridor a high-functioning area?
Well, I'll start off, Dave, by saying that the growth is here and it's coming. So it's not just responding to the growth. Preparing for it. It's really responding to it. As was mentioned, you've got 5.3 million people here today. That's larger than the size of Louisiana. And we're expecting 3 million plus, 2.5 to 3 million plus more, according to the Texas Demographic Center, between now and 2050. That's 24 short years away. And that's essentially the size of Chicago in terms of the population that we're expecting to have here. So there's two ways to look at this. We're either preparing for that growth, planning for it, using our coalition to respond to it in a positive way and try to structure it to a way that's amenable for our residents, or we're going to sustain that growth regardless, not plan for it, and then have to react to the consequences is the two ways that we can look at this. So our organization was started, founded by Secretary Henry Cisneros. We have two co-chairs, Jenna Sosa Herrera, who is with USAA, who's representing the San Antonio area in our 8-county region. She was former head of Greater SATX. And we have Gary Farmer, who's co-chair, representing the Austin area. That's a 5-county area. So we have 5 counties in Austin. We have 8 counties. In San Antonio, it's a 13-county contiguous region that represents our metropolitan statistical area. And he found Opportunity Austin. We've been talking about an organization like this for at least 25 years. Henry Cisneros in Target 90 had some of the conversations around this in terms of collaboration with Austin. When Opportunity Austin was founded, one of their goals was how do we collaborate more with San Antonio? And we're not just talking about the two significant metroplex areas in Austin, San Antonio. We're talking about all of the growth that's happening in Hays County, in Comal County. Williamson County is up to 700,000 people and growing, and they're getting significant economic development. And you're seeing this growth happen not just in these areas, but going to the exurbs as well. So you pointed to transportation, and that's an important point. I usually, 7 out of 10 times, will take SH-130 because I live downtown, and I can guarantee door-to-door an hour and a half between where I'm going from here to Austin, for the most part. I-35, hour and a half is ideal. It can happen, but it's on a really good day, as you mentioned. So there has been times when I've been on I-35 when I've had to go up and an incident occurs and I had to turn back around. So we have to plan for how do we relieve congestion on I-35. And there's several ideas to be able to do that, but we have to get a collective group, not just the transportation folks talking to one another, not just the water people talking to another, but the university presidents that are also challenged with some of this growth, in addition to the utilities, in addition to the economic development corporations, the chambers of commerce. And this is a forum where we're trying to build a big tent to pull people in, develop that conversation and consensus around the challenges and opportunities that are affecting our region.
Our phone lines are open. If you got a question or a comment about getting these communities up and down I-35, these governmental entities to work together for the betterment of all, and some of the issues that you've seen now and all the growth we already have, give us a call, 833-877-8255, 833-TPR-TALK. So give me the vision. What would it look like if this was able to, everyone sort of singing kumbaya together simultaneously in all the different organizations and governmental entities? And what would we see? What would it look like?
Well, first off, you know, we're in the very early formative stages. So we have a founding steering committee I mentioned that's helping to seed fund this organization. But we're now building the next concentric circle of membership, and that's those government entities that I mentioned and quasi-government and non-governmental organizations, nonprofits, and foundations to help us understand what our capacity will be, especially going so closely into the Texas legislative session, the 90th session here in January. So we're preparing our governance to be able to build this consensus around those issues that are important to us. But I see our focus on the categories that we've identified in terms of energy and mobility and water, education, workforce, housing, affordability, healthcare, land stewardship and planning as kind of the framework that we want to develop around what our priority issue is going to be as we head into that 90th legislative session. And how can we start to unify, for instance, our delegation from Williamson County all the way to Atascosa and Bandera to Bastrop on specific issues that impact our region, whether that's a regional water plan that brings us all together, whether that's alleviating congestion on 35 with east-west connectors, whether that's advanced technology, for instance, innovations that may take place, not just with rail, in terms of what we wanted to focus on there and what's been worked on in the past. And we're standing on tall shoulders with the Austin-San Antonio Corridor Council that has worked on that particular issue for 40 years, but also thinking about advanced technology like advanced air mobility, eVTOLs that can transport individuals from one place to another and be the leader in that kind of technology, in addition to autonomous shuttles and other opportunities that may exist in the future, Dave.
All right. So while we're talking about the future of the San Antonio-Austin corridor, what should we call this thing? You know, was it Austin-Tonio, ASA, you know, Austin-San Antonio, like DFW, but, you know, some sort of word that kind of makes it understood that this is growing into one of the largest metroplexes in the nation, so much economic opportunity, a lot of vibrance, but at the same time, you know, how do we make this growth controlled and so that it'll be efficient and that you'll be able to get around when you need to? Call in 833-877-8255. Source returns after this break.
Support for this podcast of The Source comes from Texas Mutual Insurance Company, a workers' compensation provider committed to rewarding policyholders who keep their workers safe and losses low. More at texasmutual.com/TXM Advantage. Texas Mutual. Texans get it.
You're listening to The Source on Texas Public Radio. I'm David Martin Davies, trying to figure out what we're going to call this metro area, this mega metro area, as San Antonio and Austin continue to grow and all points in between. Should we call it, I think maybe ASAS, which stands for Austin, San Antonio, Selma, what do we need? And there's New Braunfels, we have San Marcos, they're all growing, and all these other Buda. A lot of everything is growing and booming, but we got to come up with a central identity, a way to approach this as a way to talk about that. And with us is AJ Rodriguez, first CEO of the Central Texas Alliance. What do you want to call this thing?
Well, first of all, we want to call it part of our 501c6 that we established, the Central Texas Alliance, in terms of starting to bring this group together. But, you know, you bring up a great point. You know, for instance, North Texas Commission, we're emulating our model much like them in the DFW area, which is identified as DFW. People don't call it Dallas and Fort Worth anymore. They say DFW.
Right. And there's all these other little McKinney and all these other parts that are part of it.
That's
as well.
Right. I think you bring up a terrific point. It's certainly something that would be great to put on the table for conversation. One of the things that tends to unify our region pretty well is our Spurs. That's from Austin to San Antonio. In fact, we adopted the color scheme for the Spurs for our logo as a result to show that unification that can occur. But I think you make up a very good point that we ought to be thinking about.
How do we call this thing? Let's go to a caller. The number is 833-877-8255, 833-TPR-TALK. And David, thanks for calling in. You're on The Source.
Yes, thank you. As you're talking about expanding I-35, I think about driving through 35W through the Fort Worth area. And that, to me, is an example of a road designed to make you want to use the toll lanes. And the toll lanes are outrageously expensive up there. You can spend $20 easily one way going through that area. And they had plenty of room to make three lanes for the free lane, for the free lanes, but they didn't do it. They made just two lanes for the free lanes in part of that area to make people want to use their abusive variable price toll lanes. And the one thing that really irks me is, I mean, I have the means to pay for it if I needed to, but why should we need to? Tolls are just another way to separate the haves from the have-nots. And I'd love to see 35 expanded, but do it like they did up above Waco, between Waco and the 35EW split, where there are no tolls and they just widen the road. None of this toll bypass business. I'm so glad we've avoided that in San Antonio so far, and I don't want to see it anywhere near here.
All right, so we want freeways to be free. So are tolls part of the future, AJ Rodriguez?
Yeah, I don't know specifically if tolls is the answer. I would just say that we need to be open to different opportunities, different technologies, different funding mechanisms. We need to be a partner with our state and our federal government to draw down the funds that we need to address the growth and the need. It's interesting to me in terms of the accessibility to Austin and the commerce that happens, the workforce that goes between San Antonio and New Braunfels and vice versa, or Buda and San Marcos, as you mentioned, and Austin. And there's what we're interested in is an agnostic approach to the technology, but we are very supportive of getting something on the ground sooner than later. So I think if we can get something expedited, whether that's these east-west connectors that can relieve, for instance, SH-46 is a priority for New Braunfels in terms of extending from 35 to 130 and relieving some traffic on 35. I think you're also seeing this kind of work around the entire state, and that really is attributable to, you know, the legislature dedicating funds towards transportation. And we are seeing essentially work and construction throughout our entire state. And 35 is the perfect example of that. 35 is the kind of, when you're in an airplane and you're flying over and you see just this civilization all over from Austin down to San Antonio in terms of the lights. And then you see this one little string that connects us all, and that's I-35. So absolutely, there's a lot of construction happening on it right now. There's congestion, and we need to relieve that congestion. And so we're aiming to do that.
I think the media can play an important role in trying to develop a common identity between these communities. And there's opportunities to do that. You know, Hearst owns both the Austin American Statesman and the San Antonio Express News, and you're on the TPR board. You know how we're working at KSTX, Texas Public Radio. We're working with KUT quite a bit, you know, trying to use the media to, you know, cover issues that are related to the issue of creating this mega metro.
Yeah, I think that's right. First off, in terms of separately in my role on the TPR board, just as of late, because I chaired the San Antonio Report for about 5 years. And I was just so delighted to see the combining of this journalism force for the state. So I just wanted to mention that the leadership from Ashley and Angie and others that have made that help make that happen, I think is really critical to ensuring we're getting quality journalism in San Antonio and throughout the region and throughout the state. I do absolutely think that the media can play a critical role, especially in our formation, especially a new organization like ours that needs the visibility and awareness. And as you mentioned, it's not just a name. For instance, the DFW or the ASAS, whatever you mentioned, would be some of the potential names for it. But it's really the cultural identity that we build around this. I mean, Austin is Austin, San Antonio is San Antonio, New Braunfels and Santa Marcos all have their unique identities. But there's also opportunity from a tourism perspective, a cultural perspective, where people from Georgetown are coming down to Fiesta, and you have people from San Antonio going up to South by Southwest and having that. So part of the visibility and awareness the meeting creates
right.
is really critical.
But, okay, let me go to a caller. Let's go to Susie. And Susie, thanks for calling in. You're on The Source.
Hi. Thank you for taking my call. I have a question. I've been driving this corridor for decades, and this is nothing new. Yeah, I mean the growth lately is even more explosive, but it's been like this for a long time, and we knew it would actually decades ago. So what I do not understand is why there really hasn't been for not just this corridor, but for Texas in general, why have we always had a hodgepodge or waiting for our legislature to, you know, provide a little funding here and there every 2 years instead of a comprehensive plan for this growth in many ways, not just the transportation, which has become basically almost, you know, it's very difficult to move around to get anywhere. But also for water planning, for our grid, all these sorts of things. It's like every last, it's every time you turn around, there's a new report about, well, this is happening or something is happening as though it were a surprise for people. Why can't this be comprehensive planning from, say, the governor's office on down? Why is it piecemeal? And also, why is it up to nonprofits? Why can't our government do a comprehensive job of developing these plans for the state?
All right.
Thank you.
Susie, thank you for that. So it brings up a great point. So how did we get here? I know that in Texas, planning is local. Everything is very local, local driven. County judges, cities. You know, we do have, you know, the Alamo Area Council of Governments. They do a lot of regional planning, And is that how we got here? Because we've looked at this problem as local, development is local, but now things have gotten to a scale where hyper-local doesn't work.
I mean, I think that you make a very good point there in that folks like the Council of Governments, you know, ACOG, representing Alamo area, and CAPCOG, represent, you know, a wider amount of counties than we will, in fact. But they are also cut off at that Austin-San Antonio seam specifically. So what this organization is meant to do is to bring those groups together to talk about the ideas and concepts and then to persuade our legislature, working with our legislature and our federal government, to draw down the kinds of resources that we need to address it. So it's very relevant in that most of the organizations you see are doing great work, but they're doing great work within their respective areas. And this is meant to bring all that together. And as a result, hopefully create some efficiencies as well as we start this very intentional planning around accommodating the growth.
And more to Susie's question about the leadership coming from someone like Governor Abbott, you know, is he part of this?
Absolutely. I mean, I think we want our state leadership, we want our legislature very in tune to what comes out of the consensus building exercises, the polling that we're going to be doing, which is going to be extensive, not only of our membership, the groups I mentioned, but also of the general public to make sure that those needs are aligned.
But this is an issue that's not partisan, being able to have efficient growth between
a high
development area. Yeah. And, you know, Abbott's pro-business, and he would think that he would want to support something like this. And, you know, as he can give his name and come out there and say that he would support it or maybe give it some legislative juice.
You know, I will tell you, and we've asked for that support, and I will also tell you that folks think that bipartisanship is not possible. And having the benefit of working for Texas 2036, and the work we did, for instance, on community college reform, where we went from an enrollment-based system to an outcomes-based system. Those commission's recommendations went through the process, the legislative process, and ultimately it passed the House 142-0, and it passed the Senate 31-0. So there are opportunities for bipartisanship, but you have to have the data. You have to have the right arguments. You have to have the right structure to pull it through the process. And, of course, funding helps. So there was also an additional $750 million at the time when HB4 passed for community colleges. And so all 50 community colleges supported that particular endeavor, and Alamo Colleges and Austin Community Colleges have benefited from that. Obviously, there's always tweaks. And I like to say the legislature is iterative in its process. So you have to go through, you pass something, you go through, push something 15, 25 yards, another 50 yards. But going back to our Central Catholic days, Dave.
Sure. we lost a lot of yardage as well. But, you know, in the end, yeah, we did fine. Putting together a legislative caucus of the state representatives of this region, coming together with a plan, like what's our wish list for this Central Texas Alliance to bring to this legislative caucus, having them get on board. I mean, you could do some big things if everyone would get on the same playbook.
I think that's definitely one of our goals, is to have the outcomes at the end of the day. A year from now, we want to be able to point back and say, these one or two things wouldn't have happened but for the existence of the organization. But I think where the real and even more magic happens is when just building the connective tissue. And I'll give you one quick example. TechPort San Antonio has more and employs more people today than it did when Kelly Air Force Base was at its prime. And Jim Pershbach, the CEO there, is working on building these 100-yard pads to be able to accommodate eVTOLs. Then you have CODA and Bobby Epstein.
eVTOLs, I don't even know.
eVTOLs, excuse me. It's for our 8-year-old self, it's flying cars.
Okay.
So there you go. So, and there are these particular vehicles that could take 150 folks at a time. So, and then you have...
flying buses.
Yeah, you have Circuit of the Americas.
So flying buses real quick, between... I'm almost out of time this break. We can pick up when we come back from the break. You know, transportation, would a rail be a big solution? What do you want to see with Central Texas becoming united, with the Central Texas Alliance is working on that? Call in with your questions and comments, maybe about the rail, 833-877-8255, 833-TPR-TALK. The Source continues.
Support for TPR comes from UT San Antonio, offering degree programs and research focused on workforce development, student success, and health innovation across Texas. UTSA.edu. UT San Antonio, the University of Ambition.
This is The Source on Texas Public Radio. I'm David Martin Davies. The area between San Antonio and Austin is growing tremendously, but it's not just San Antonio and Austin. This area has about 120 municipalities. There are all these different counties, other different governments working in this area. Getting them to work together, to pull in the same direction, could accomplish a lot to make this new growing mega metro into a highly efficient city of the future. And that is the vision of Central Texas Alliance. We're joined by AJ Rodriguez. He is the first CEO of the Central Texas Alliance. And so when we were going to break, we were talking about flying buses. Sounds nutty, but this is what they're working on right now at Port San Antonio, and how this could be one of many solutions to the transportation crunch that we have. Yeah. Trying to unite this fast-growing, vast area.
And it's not long ago that we didn't think about self-driving cars, and now you see them all over the place.
Yeah.
So the technology is moving at a pretty rapid rate. Where we were going before the break was I was talking about the connective tissue that can occur, right? That may or may not require legislation, but it's actually the relationships that we want to build between these different efforts that are happening throughout the Central Texas region. So I mentioned Tech Port SA, and what they're doing to think about this kind of technology in the future. But we also have, you know, the Circuit of the Americas. Bobby Epstein and his group is essentially building five venues that exist in various parts of DFW. Their F1 race attracts a significant crowd in addition to the other venues that they have. And they just need two roads. They have a $3.4 billion impact on the state. And where I'm going with this is, in terms of advanced air technology and mobility, if he starts to build some of this and they have this conversation, a lot of people that go to his events don't just stay in Austin. They stay in San Marcos. They stay in New Braunfels. They also stay in San Antonio. And so there's an opportunity there to move people between those two venues. For instance, it's just a small example of the kinds of relationships that we want to create, the confidence and trust that needs to be created between these groups.
So San Antonio and Austin, they have a lot of strengths. They're very different cities. It's incredibly how different these two cities are, particularly when you look at the economic income. If San Antonio workers had access, daily access to Austin jobs, people in Austin had access to San Antonio real estate, cheaper housing opportunities, but what lies in between is this congestion. If we had a reliable commuter rail, I mean, let's go back to old technology. Let's go to rail.
Right.
And if we could get that to work, I think that would be like a huge step forward in creating a fundamentally functional mega metro city.
And I'm really excited about the recent studies that were done by TxDOT and also Travis County in terms of determining what that feasibility might be. I know there's additional work that has to be done in terms of understanding the research and the data behind that work. And there's obviously quite a bit of consensus building that has to happen between the two cities, but also in between the two cities. But that is absolutely on the table for us. It's an opportunity, as you mentioned, to connect workers across the region. The MSAs, by definition, metropolitan statistical areas, that were defined in terms of the 13 county are defined because of the transferability of workforce. They're defined by the transferability of where people are moving, where they're located, where they're expanding to, where they're doing business together in terms of commerce. So there's a lot of opportunity there to, as you mentioned, to do a better job of connectivity.
What happens if we get this wrong? I mean, you could end up with, you know, just the mess of all these cities. They're not really integrated economically. They compete for limited resources rather than working together to maximize opportunities. I mean, it you know, there's a lot at risk if we don't get this right.
And we're seeing some of that with I-35 today. But part of what I talked about earlier as well is that we have a choice. And if not doing anything is a choice in terms of suffering the consequences of not planning and not thinking strategically around these issues. And the most dire type example I can probably point to, which is without water, there's nothing. Without water, there's nothing to look forward to in terms of economic development, but also just sustainability of a community. So working regionally and together to ensure that we have an adequate supply of water for this region in totality. And it's not just pockets of the of water within certain communities. It's got to be the entire region working together to solve that challenge and issue, which is where you're going with that. That's a worst case type scenario, is ending up in a situation like Corpus is in currently.
Right. So we're looking at the fact that this is a high growth area, looking at like 5.3 million people now, projections say another 3 million more by 2050. Where are those 3 million going? I mean, are they going to pockets in this metroplex? Or?
No, I think, I mean, number one, they are locating within our major metros, but they're also locating all over. I mean, you have people that live in Atascosa that work in San Antonio. You have, and moving to those different places, you have people in Caldwell that are working in San Marcos. You have people in Williamson that are working in Williamson, but they're working in Austin. So there's a lot of transferability of where those folks and where that population is essentially exploding.
I get these emails from people from like New Braunfels saying how it's grown so much that they've ruined New Braunfels. It's no longer able. You're no longer able to navigate the town. It's just it's lost so much of its charm. Could getting this right, would we be able to preserve these areas?
That's why one of our categories that we're going to focus on is land stewardship and planning. I love the idea, for instance, of the Great Springs Project that's trying to link Austin all the way down to San Antonio with hike and bike trails and quality of life. The project that our founder is also working on in terms of the Arboretum and creating that open space in that particular area, critically vital to the quality of life. I mean, ultimately the goal is our kids have a place that they can live, work, and play in terms of what we're trying to establish here and do. So I you know, what's interesting to me as well is I've heard from certain county judges throughout the region. And they've gone to public meetings and they say, you know, we don't want any more growth. And they say, well, raise your hand if you've been here in the last 5 years. And 75% of the room's hands go up. It's kind of like we're going to experience that growth regardless. And, you know, Austin.
But there's growth and there's growth, you know, and there's like the expression, no one goes there anymore. It's too crowded. You know, the growth becomes a victim of your own success. You want the growth to be positive and encouraging of people to still want to move to this area because it offers so much.
Well, I think that's where the planning comes in and the conversations that happen around the economic development community, working with the universities, working with the water districts and the transportation entities to say, what does planned growth look like for the sustainability of this particular community over the long term.
Right. And so how does the government work? I mean, the Alliance has no authority. All you can do is just help get people to see the possibilities. How does that work?
Well, I think it works. I've taken lots of pages out of my former employer's book, Texas 2036. And one thing that we really led with there is data-driven policy analysis. And I think that is the neutralizer as it relates to nonpartisan work. So part of the challenge is to bring everybody to the table, make sure they're engaged, develop consensus around these issues, and then act on them in terms of influencing our state and federal legislative groups to make all of this work in terms of funding, in terms of resourcing, in terms of planning, and also to that point, you know, understanding the benefit for the long term is going to be a challenge for us that we're looking forward to meeting head on.
So who has a voice in trying to make this direction known, deciding where we want this to go? Does the average working guy, does he have a voice?
You know, I want to encourage folks to go to our website, www.centraltexasalliance.com. We have many ways to engage there. We ask folks, how do you want to be? Do you want to be informed? Do you want to be a member of ours? Do you want to be part of a group that is asked for from a subject matter expert standpoint? So we're trying to open that up. But in this formative stage, what I see is one of our integral functions is this polling work that we want to do with our public so that we understand where folks are at and meet them where they're at. I've made a commitment as part of my new role to get around the 13-county region and talk to folks on their turf and understand the practicalities of what they're experiencing so that we can inform our policy work in the right way.
Right, and people can tell you what they absolutely don't want, like we heard from a caller, like we don't want toll roads, we want to have freeways.
I think that type of anecdotal evidence and data is critical to where we move forward.
And we want green spaces, we want to be looking after quality of life, we want to have a functional area between San Antonio and Austin that would be easy to traverse.
And I think if you asked any state legislator those same questions, I think they would absolutely respond positively. It's just also, what are the mechanics in helping make that happen?
All right, so we're going to talk more about that when we come back from the break. We had hoped to have District 9 City Council member Misty Spears with us today. Unfortunately, business is running long at City Council, so she's not going to make it. So AJ Rodriguez, can you stay another 15 minutes and help us continue to explore what the future looks like for this corridor?
I'm obliged and excited to do so.
Okay, and we want to hear from our callers, 833-877-8255, 833-TPR-TALK. Would you hop aboard a passenger rail between San Antonio and Austin? Would you get on one of these flying buses? Is that a solution for our transportation issues? What do you want to see happening with this I-35 San Antonio-Austin corridor? We'll be right back. You're listening to The Source on Texas Public Radio. I'm David Martin Davies. We're talking about the newly formed Central Texas Alliance. They want to look at the region that we have between San Antonio and Austin and the communities in between, trying to maximize economic opportunities, maintain quality of life. The nonprofit coalition is bringing together civic, business, academic, and community leaders working to address the problems that we're having: transportation, housing, water, workforce development, energy resilience, healthcare, and land use planning. You can call in with your questions and comments, 833-877-8255, 833-TPR-TALK. So why has it been so hard to get a passenger rail, commuter rail between San Antonio and Austin?
Yeah, Dave, I mean, I think there's been challenges. We've gotten very close several times in terms of the regulatory environment and pulling that through. I think the funding is obviously in question as it relates to, you know, what the state can fund, what locals will be expected to fund related to, you know, specific local stations. The route obviously has been up for discussion and consideration and studies. I think this latest study that was done where it put the lines along I-35, or at least some of the accommodations to be able to sustain those freight and passenger lines on I-35, along with the other study that was done to demonstrate what a SH-130 route might look like. But if you even take that particular SH-130, you know, that's got a $13 billion plus price tag to it. And a lot of that is because much of the line has to be elevated. Two-thirds of the line going along the 130 route has to be elevated. But I do think there's also quite a bit of opportunity and enthusiasm for it. And I think I-35 has driven a lot of that enthusiasm for saying, is it time for us to do this? One of the things that I've also been thinking about from a data perspective is where is San Antonio growing? Where's Austin growing? You know, San Antonio 25 years ago, what we have in terms of the density of our population was located like in the I-10, 410 area. That has now moved all the way past the medical center and continues to have that westward trajectory. It makes it difficult for those individuals to convince them to get on 130 to surpass I-35 because of the length of distance and the time. So these other technologies, these other connectors, and I'm not just talking about, what we talked about with flying buses, but also, what do autonomous shuttles look like in the future? Can we get a shuttle between the two airports, for instance, to help accommodate and alleviate some of this congestion? When I'm on 35, as you are, it's one car, one passenger mostly. That obviously leads to that congestion. Austin is also growing northeast substantially. Williamson County, upwards and north of Austin, is growing substantially as well. So what do those population moves look like, and what kind of technologies and routes are going to make the most sense?
Pam has sent in an email, said, I would definitely hop a train or express bus. Anything that is less stressful and takes about the same amount of time as driving in the maddening traffic, public transit between these two hubs would create a lot of cross-pollination that doesn't happen now because many people refuse to even consider driving to Austin from San Antonio for much of anything.
Let me tell you. Can I add to that real quick? There's a safety component to that that I think she's alluding to, which I think is really helpful, but there's also a productivity component to it.
Yeah, it wastes so much time.
Exactly. If we had folks...
I can only listen to so many podcasts.
Exactly.
Here's the solution. All right, this is what you need. This is going to fix all your problems.
Thanks, Dave.
We need an NFL team for the Central Texas, okay?
Are you not a Cowboys fan?
No, I'm not.
Okay.
I'm not a fan of any of the teams.
Got you.
But if you had a NFL team and you had a stadium smack in the middle of this corridor, and you call them the I-35 World Warriors or something like that, then, it would create that identity. It would create this thing. Who are you? What are you about? This is our team, something like that.
Yeah, well, I think the Spurs have done a good job of that already, number one. But
the Spurs are downtown San Antonio. They are
San Antonio team. But I know a lot of people from Austin, having worked there, that just love our Spurs.
Who wouldn't? I don't blame them, but they stole our soccer team, and all these other things that have happened. So this infighting between these two municipalities, that's the issue. People fight the hardest when they fight for crumbs rather than looking at the big picture and seeing that there's a bigger pie if we get together.
There doesn't have to be a binary type argument where
maybe professional baseball,
okay. MLB. Yeah, that's
okay,
right.
I'll settle for that.
And that very well could happen in the future, and it could very well happen in San Marcos, right?
I mean, we're talking like 8 million people here.
Yeah, that's right. I think there's viability. I think the markets in many ways, definitely the airlines already, see us as one region. They don't see us as completely separate. And I think that cultural shift of getting people to understand what's happening in Austin, that a win in Atascosa is a win in Williamson, that a development in Seguin, like the Caterpillar plant that happened years ago when I was overseeing economic development at the city, isn't seen as a loss for San Antonio. It's seen as a plus, because where are those people going to live and work and shop and visit? So getting towards that type of attitude where it's not a zero-sum game and it's a binary, well, they're going to get this and we're going to lose this, where who moved my cheese, or I don't have cheese yet, but I'm going to have it. If we get away from that and understand what's really important for the region in totality in terms of this long-term sustainability is where we want to get to. We want that attitude shift to happen.
We don't want San Antonio to be the Oakland to Austin, San Francisco. We want San Antonio to be, at least as equals. And is that what you're looking for in, yeah, as I mean, being the alliance?
You know, if we were to hang a shingle anywhere in terms of an office, it would probably be in San Marcos. It's the very center of the region. And it makes sure that we're intentionally sending a message that we want to be helpful to the Kendall counties and the Banderas and the Bastrops and the Caldwells, and where we're trying to bring all those different groups together in a fair and equitable way in helping everyone's going to have a seat at the table to help us develop this consensus. It's not going to be an Austin San Antonio centric or dominating factor in my mind. Obviously, we have more population in both those areas, but we want to develop a governance structure that is able to produce the voice from all these other outlying communities that are just as important to the regional growth and what we're going to develop over time. And I think the models that have existed, the good news is that in many places throughout the country, these kinds of organizations get developed out of a crisis or out of a downturn. And we're in the exact opposite situation of that. And we've got to leverage this moment or we'll lose it, as you mentioned.
And the leadership, Henry Cisneros helped form the Central Texas Alliance. Is he playing, is his voice, is he able to cut through some of these localized rivalries?
You know, I think, Henry is a visionary and a mentor. And we first started talking about some of this work over a year and a half ago. But I happened to bump into him quintessentially at a barbecue joint, Reese Bros on the east side. And he said, I think we're finally going to do this, AJ. Would you be willing to lead it? And I said, absolutely. He's a unifier. He's a visionary. I like to joke that, but in, somewhat tongue in cheek, that Henry dreams it, then I go out and do it. And so I think he's brought a lot to the table, and he's been thinking about this and has brought that leadership and has demonstrated outcomes for a significant period of time. So absolutely following his lead, but also the co-chairs that are involved. And he wants to ensure, like I do, that we have a governance structure that might have a 100-person board in order to develop this consensus we need.
And getting the cities to work together, I mean, can we actually teach Austin that tofu and sprouts don't belong in breakfast tacos?
We can have as many debates about the tacos as you want with Austin and San Antonio. I think that's a very healthy thing to do. We've committed to having Central Texas barbecue at every one of our outings on purpose.
So that we don't get into the defibrillator at those things.
So that we don't get into the taco debates.
So what are the early successes look like? What are you going to try to put some points on the board to show that this is for real?
Well, I think, first of all, as I mentioned, the 90th legislative session is coming up very quickly here in January. We're bringing a group together, our public launch event. We're going to invite some media to that as well to witness what we're doing. We're going to have some panel conversations. And we're also, in terms of regionalism, someone from the North Texas Commission, for instance, someone from the Greater Houston Partnership to understand what that kind of regionalism looks like. Someone also that represents the entire I-10 corridor. And by the way, I-10 crosses I-35. I-10 goes coast to coast. I-35 goes from country to country. And that is a major trade route. It's the crossroads of trade for America. If you think about it, it's right here in south side of San Antonio. So we're going to bring that panel together. We have set the stage with the Dallas Fed. And the whole point of that is to begin also just workshopping right away in terms of helping to force rank some of the issues that we're going to be looking at for this next session.
AJ Rodriguez, he is the first CEO of the Central Texas Alliance. He's also a member of the Texas Public Radio Board. Thanks for coming in today and helping us understand the vision for a functional, combo, metro, loco, whatever you want to call it, between San Antonio and Austin, and how this is an opportunity that it's going to require effort and work, or otherwise it's just going to be a mess.
My pleasure, Dave. Thanks for the opportunity, and go Buttons.
Go Buttons. All right, Central Catholic. I thank fellow alumni. That's The Source on Texas Public Radio. I'm David Martin Davies. Thanks for listening. We'll be right back.
This has been The Source on Texas Public Radio. The Source is hosted by David Martin Davies. Tim Gutierrez is the show's producer. Additional production support from Steve Short, Yvette Benavides, and Dan Katz. The Source is made possible with support from the Gladys and Ralph Lazarus Foundation.